Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim with Walker and Tim Wildman. Walker Wildman, Ray Pritchard, and Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, Steve. What is it you don't want to talk about, so I want to ask you?
The Chiefs beat the Raiders on Sunday, and it was bad.
Let's talk about it. I've got all the time.
I got it. Ray is in Kansas City.
Oh, my goodness.
And Chiefs.
I enjoyed that game last night.
And the the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yes.
That, I'll never be able to say that. Okay.
Yeah.
Good morning to you, Steve.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
What have you been working on this morning, Steve?
I've been watching. I've been looking at the news and watching to see the latest on what's going on in the world. Can we start with some good news?
Go.
The 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, which is the one out of Georgia and Florida and Alabama, has ruled in a contrary decision to two other circuit courts that counseling that helps people who want, and especially young people who want to live a godly life and are troubled by their same-sex attraction, that counseling, banning that counseling is unconstitutional. So we've seen these laws that say counselors can't help kids come out of homosexuality. And two courts, the Ninth out west and the Third up in Pennsylvania, have ruled that, yes, you can have that ban. Well, the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals ruled 2-1 on Friday that counseling is banning the counseling is a violation of free speech.
That's excellent. Wow. Great news.
Yeah, that is great news. Absolutely.
Is this involving counseling for adults or for young people, for children, say?
Well, either one.
Okay.
Yeah, either
applies
one.
Applies across the board, you're saying.
Right.
That's great.
The line is that there is no carve out for gender identity or sexual orientation.
Yeah, what's going on around the country, and this is good news for the state of Florida and those who live in Georgia, Alabama, and Florida, in terms of their counselors.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about professional licensed counselors, right?
Correct. There was already a carve out for clergy.
Okay. And so what the LGBTQ folks have been trying to do is to outlaw a counselor's ability to encourage an individual to lead that lifestyle, right?
They are allowed to encourage it, but they are not allowed to help them change.
Okay. But what the court said here is, yes, they do have the right to do that if they want to.
It's a free speech issue.
If you have two people consenting, that is the counselee and the counselor, they can do whatever they want to in this respect. And let me ask you this, Steve. Why were the LGBTQ, I think I know the answer to this before I ask it, but I'm going to ask it anyway, and Walker and Ray can weigh in. Why would a person, an LGBTQ individual, care whether another person wants to seek counseling to help them leave that lifestyle?
If you admit or acknowledge that change is possible, then it kind of defies their talking point, their narrative that you are born with this and you can't help it and it's the way that God created you.
But if change is impossible, then why do you care whether a counselor is trying to help an individual come out of a lifestyle? Because you know it's not possible to do that, so what do I care whether they want to waste their time or not, Ray? What's going on here?
Well, certainly. They're arguing that if change is impossible, then by definition, if anybody's offering counseling for an impossible change, you're just going to increase the inner turmoil of the person that you're, quote, trying to help. And then they trot out the stories of depression and suicide and all the rest. So you can see their argument. They have to hold on to the idea, this is the way I am and I cannot change.
This fits right in, Walker, with what we've done with the Is in His Image documentary that's online that people can go watch for free.
Right.
Listen, people have been changed. People are changing every day around the world for all kinds of life and lives lived in sin.
Right.
Including LGBTQ. And they've been changed because they gave their life to God.
Right.
And the power of Jesus Christ, this testimony, one after another one, many of them on our documentary. So, I mean, I just don't understand. I do understand.
This is
I don't understand.
It's spiritual. It's so this cannot be explained in human terms unless you're a believer and you understand how good versus evil, Satan versus God works. And that there's this lie from Satan out there that whatever your flesh desires, whatever you're bent towards, that's you're fixed with it for life. There is no changing. There is no transformation. There is no escape. That's the lie out there. But what we've presented and what the gospel says, what we've presented within his image and what the gospel says, is that God can transform your life. If you struggle with your sexual identity, you can be changed.
Or any other kind of sin.
Or any other kind of sin. You can be changed through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that's the battle here.
Yeah. Well, so that's good news out of the that's a federal appellate court, isn't it?
Federal Circuit Court, yes.
So that's good news out of
Florida.
Well, that particular appellate court, federal appellate court, covers Alabama, Georgia, and
Florida, right?
In Florida.
Yeah, but they're in conflict now with the 9th and the 11th, or the whatever the Pennsylvania one is, 3rd. And so it's more likely now that the Supreme Court might take up something like this when the circuit courts are in conflict.
Yeah. So the some in the LGBTQ movement, they want to outlaw counseling that helps people come out of that lifestyle.
They do.
That's dark. That's dark because we don't do this as a country. We don't do this with any other
Again, it's
situation.
It's a strike at freedom.
Yeah, I mean, if someone's struggling with alcoholism or struggling with...
What these folks would ultimately like to do, and by these folks, I mean these secular progressives. That's what they call themselves, progressives. Abe calls them regressives. What they ultimately want to do, and I know people may say, oh, they wouldn't be in favor of that. Yes, what they would like to do is shut down churches who teach that homosexuality is a sin. That's what they would like to see, because for the same reasons they don't want counselors counseling people to leave that lifestyle.
Right.
So they want to say, the churches that teach Romans chapter 1, for example, literally, they need to be either fined or stopped from teaching this because it harms the LGBT individuals, right?
Yeah.
That's what they would say, psychologically and otherwise.
Right.
So that's what they're after, ultimately. If you don't believe this could happen, in Canada it already does happen, folks. In Canada, now I don't know about churches. Ray, you may know about this, but I know Christian radio networks and television radio and television networks in Canada cannot
can't speak of
homosexuality in any way, right?
That's exactly right. They can't do what we're doing here on AFR. They've in Canada, you get in terrible trouble. And let's be honest, it's already happened in some churches in Canada that pastors have been effectively they've been pressured into silence. They've been warned if you speak out. I mean, if you preach on Romans 1, it could cost you your job.
Steve?
Next story?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the Republican base is getting upset enough with the party standard bearers that they're ready to leave? That is the premise that's being put forward by a reporter called Jack Posobiec. He's kind of an internet personality who now works for One American News Network. And he's saying the base of the party is ready to leave. Listen to Cut 10.
But what I will say is that the base, the Republican base, is sick and tired of the Republican Party, of the way they're acting, of the way they refuse to stand up for the base and for the way that they have completely abandoned them. And the Republican base is ready to leave the party.
What's your question to me, Steve?
Do you think that's true?
Who was that gentleman?
That was a reporter called Jack Posobiec.
Okay, you're asking me for my opinion on what he just said.
Yes, I am.
I don't agree with him.
Yeah, me either.
I don't know where he's getting that from exactly.
Would you like to hear from one who is part of that base?
Is that you?
No.
Okay.
Cut 11. This is a caller to Rush Limbaugh. I'm sorry.
Very afraid. Trump and you are all we have left, Rush. We've spent our lives voting for these people because they're not them. And we just can't do it anymore. We're tired of being stabbed in the back, Rush. It's better to have an enemy that's in front of you than a friend that's behind you that's just going to stab you. We were in Washington on Saturday. Me and my 33-year-old son, we saw more people than we've ever seen in our lifetime, ever. And we're season ticket holders for the Ravens, for God's sakes. I've been in crowds of 80,000 people. I've been to Steelers games, for goodness sakes. I have never seen so many people, but were there any Republicans there? No.
You mean no elected Republicans? Is that what you mean?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Our party leadership, quote unquote, if this were a Democrat rally, they would all be there. They were there for the anti-Tea Party movement walking hand in hand.
I think there's more out there than we want to admit.
More out there than what?
Disaffected.
People who feel like that.
That's always been true, and it will always be true on both sides, Democrats and Republicans. There's an ongoing and eternal battle between the establishment of political parties, Republican and Democrat, and the base or the rank and file out there across the country. So, there's always going to be that tension.
Yeah.
I see it, Walker.
Yeah, here's the I've heard this argument before for years. You've said it's been eternal. The battle between the establishment and the base, conservatives versus more, you could call them moderates or Republicans in name only. The problem with the let's start a new party argument, which is what some have pushed and they're continuing to push, I understand the sentiment, but the problem with that is, what happens when there's moderates in that new party? Do you then start another?
You splinter again.
You splinter again and start another new party. There will always be moderates in a camp. I mean, that's always how it works. There's people who they view things differently. They have different worldviews. So as someone who typically votes Republican, although I wouldn't say I'm like a hardcore registered Republican, I vote my values, but someone who typically votes Republican, the Republican Party fundamentally has the best party platform our country's history out of any political party in our country's history. The Republican Party platform is very conservative. Much of it is based on biblical values.
Mm-hmm.
What we have is we have some elected officials who run under the Republican ticket who don't keep their promises and who don't fully believe in the party platform.
Well, then vote them out.
Then they can be voted out. But I think throwing the Republican Party to the side and starting something new is going to be an exercise in futility.
Right.
Well, here's an interesting question. Can there be Trumpism, whatever that is, without Donald Trump? Does his movement have a future once he is out of office? And I'm setting aside the question of, let's say he concedes and Biden is in and then he runs. And I'm pushing all that aside. Is there a movement that can survive the personality who's at the head of it? I don't really know the answer to the question. What I understood from the quote or the little clip that Steve played is that there are some people inside the Republican Party who, in way up in the power structures, who frankly are pretty happy if Donald Trump lost that election and if he's gone forever, because, and maybe they want to see Mitt Romney's viewpoint ascendant back in the Republican Party. If that's the case, Republicans are going to lose millions of people that Trump brought into the discussion.
Right.
I don't. I don't see a lot of Republican leaders criticizing President Trump in his attempt to carry forth this litigation.
With the exception of that typical
There are some, and it's growing because the time is running, you know, is going here. And people who are defending President Trump's right to carry out this litigation are wanting to see some hardcore evidence that it's worthwhile.
Yeah, I think just to take the side of people who are frustrated, like the clip Steve played, I do think there is a legitimate frustration at how Republicans don't always stand together, arm in arm, and support each other like the Democrats do.
Ah, the Democrats don't either, though. Well, they do maybe more than Republicans.
When it comes to their enemies, they do. When it comes to their hatred for Donald Trump, they stand side by side, and they don't.
Yeah.
They don't stab each other in the back.
Yeah.
But with the Republican Party, it's a little different.
Yeah, but once you get in a majority, you have your own internal fight, and it's coming now for the Democrats between the AOC crowd and the former Vice President Biden crowd, if he is going to be the president. So there's going to be some fighting there. I've shared that frustration with that gentleman you played a while ago. I felt that way myself before. Hey, it was time to leave. Tired of being stabbed in the back by the establishment. We need to form our own party. And then you have to sit on that for a few days and go, wait a minute, there's only two political parties in this country that have any chance to win. And the investment you have to make to have a third party that's viable, that can win elections, there is no road to that place today in America. That's just the fact. So the best thing you can do if you want to be involved in politics is choose which team you want to be on, right? And then influence that particular team to the best of your ability for the convictions you have. And so that's the best thing you can do. You agree with that, Walker?
Yeah. And if you're a Republican and you're frustrated at Republicans not doing what they said they would do, force them to follow the party platform, which is a very good platform, or they shouldn't be in the Republican Party.
Yeah, run against them if you don't like, you know what I'm saying?
But
there's always going to be an establishment, and there's always going to be people who put money over principle. There's always going to be people who want to avoid a confrontation in politics, so they don't say anything when they should. So that's human nature. You're listening to Today's Issue. So I don't agree with the idea of the base of the Republican Party should leave because there weren't any Republican spokespeople at a rally the other day in Washington.
There's no place to go anyway.
Yeah, right? Where are you going to go?
There's not a viable third party now.
Right. And if you have a third party and you're not viable, then all you've done is
split the first party.
You've helped the party you're most opposed to become the majority party. So anyway, go ahead, Steve.
I know you guys were talking about COVID restrictions and the pushback that's coming against them. That was on steroids in New York lately. I think this happened a week or so ago. A group of Hasidic Orthodox Jews got together for a wedding. And when I say a group, I don't mean a family. 7,000 of these Orthodox Jews crammed themselves into a synagogue for a wedding. Not a one was wearing a mask. And believe me, there was no social distancing. And they all did it behind the back of Governor Andrew Cuomo, who's not very happy about it right now.
You know what I appreciate about these Orthodox Jews? There's no decision on what they're going to wear every day when they get out of bed. They don't struggle with that. They don't, huh? They just put on the black robe or the black jacket with the black shirt. And the same hat. If you go look at this video from these guys, it's like 7,000 men, I think.
The room holds 7,000. I bet there were 10 in there.
They're Hasidic or Orthodox. Are those words interchangeable, Ray? Hasidic Orthodox.
Hasidic is like a special subcategory of the Orthodox.
But they're in this gymnasium, looks like to me, or Coliseum in Washington, New York City, celebrating a wedding of one of their rabbis, and they are violating every code the governor laid out, or up there, or edict the governor laid out. They don't have masks on. They're not social distanced. They're like chanting, right, Steve?
Yeah. Yeah, they were
like a basketball game.
Believe me, if you've ever been to or seen a Jewish wedding, they are not timid affairs.
Right.
A lot of dancing, a lot of celebrating.
Anyway, so what did the what did Governor Cuomo say about that one?
Well, he's not happy. He said if it happened, which he's not conceding, but it did because we've got the video, it was a blatant disregard of the law. It was illegal. It was also disrespectful for the people of New York. The city should do a robust investigation because, like, he's got nothing else to do.
There's nothing to investigate.
Yeah, pretty much happened.
Huh? It's on video.
It is. But they did their arrangements by word of mouth. They didn't print any posters. Nothing was posted, like, even at the temple where this was held. It was all word of mouth, and that's how they got away with it without anybody knowing.
Well, they know now.
I love it.
They do.
They know now. Anyway, yeah, these guys, man, they all look alike. Huh? They all dress alike. All right, go ahead, Steve.
Sunday at 7:30 local time, a Gulfstream 4 private jet left Tel Aviv for the Saudi Arabian capital of Riyadh, where Benjamin Netanyahu, along with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, met with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, the first time that the Israeli and Saudi leaders have met face-to-face. This is a continuation of the peace prospects in the Middle East. I think the next move we're going to see is that Saudi Arabia will join this accord that they are having with Israel.
Wow. That's pretty big news.
Big stuff.
You know, this also says that what President Trump is trying to do here by bring Israel and Muslim/Arab countries together for peace deals is not just for show. That's what he was accused of, the president was accused of by liberal Democrats, mm-hmm. that this is all for show leading up to the election.
Right.
And it doesn't really have any, there's no real meaning or purpose or meat to it. Well, you're talking about post-election, and he's continuing to try to get the Saudis together with the Israelis. So you're telling me Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, went to the capital of Saudi Arabia?
He did.
And is meeting with them. That's a big deal.
It is. Yeah.
That's never happened before, right? Mm-hmm. Not in this way of the Israeli prime minister going to Saudi Arabia. It's just phenomenal.
Yeah. We are out of time. Steve, thank you.
My pleasure.
Steve, tell our folks about the news. Where can they go get their news?
Go to onenewsnow.com. You can get all of the news that we've talked about, most of what we talked about today, plus more. And you can sign up for our daily newsletter. We'll send you an email with the top news items of the day. Free of charge.
All right, thank you, Walker.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Ray.
My pleasure.
Our thanks to Brent Creeley, our producer, and Fred Jackson, who was on with us last hour. Thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Stay with us, and we shall see you back here tomorrow. Take care, everybody.